Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, we'll read verses 1 through 10 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 10. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 10. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. And let's pray. Father, thank You so much for being our God. Thank You for Your house. Thank You for the concept and the thought of the church. Lord, when we come with heavy hearts, we come with needs, we come with our sinful life that is desperate to hear the words of God. Father, may we put everything else aside, all the thoughts, all the cares aside. May we focus on the preaching of the Word of God, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Realize I'm getting started a little later than normal. We'll be done on time today, I'm just sure, but I need not struggle with you. I need you to give me your attention, please. The sermon this morning is called, You Can Run, But You Can't Hide. You can run, but you can't hide. In Psalm 139, we see a very interesting passage of Scripture. I'll read the verses, make a comment or two as we get into the sermon. Psalm 139, verse number 1, it says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and know me. Folks, you need to understand something. God knows everything about you. Everything. Your pastor doesn't know everything about you, but God does. Your wife does not know everything about you, but God does. Your husband does not know everything about you, but God does. And here the Bible says in Psalm 139:1, it says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and know me. He has searched you and He knows you. He knows the real you. In verse number 2, it says, Thou knowest my downsettings and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. He knows where you are and understands you when you're setting down. He knows when you've stood up. He knows your thoughts. And when it says afar off, that means He knows what you're planning afar off, or He knows you from a distance. God knows you. In Psalm 139, verse 3, it says, Thou compasseth my path, and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. He knows the path of your life. He knows the path that you've already traveled. He knows the one that you're on, and He knows the one that you plan to go down. He knows when you're lying down. He knows all your ways. Verse number 4, it says, For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest altogether. God knows every word. God knows every word that you say. God knows every word that you have said. God knows that there's some of you that are planning on saying something this week. You have actually planned to say something this week, and it's not good and it's not right. There's somebody that you're a part of Twitter or email or texting or blogging, and you plan to say something that you should not say in a matter of the next 24 hours. God already knows it. God knows those thoughts and those thoughts that produce those words. In verse number 5, it says, Thou hast beset me. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. He knows. He knows what's behind you. He knows what's ahead of you. He knows what's going on with you. In verse number 6, it says, Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. See, God's thoughts are high. God's thoughts are above you. God knows what you don't know and understands what you don't understand. And our thoughts, we understand a certain amount about God. But let me explain something to you. You won't understand everything about your God. Your God is too powerful. Your God is too big for you to understand it all. In verse number 7, it says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" Folks, you cannot run from the Holy Spirit of God. You can't flee from His presence. The Bible says in verse number 8, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." He is in heaven. And not only that, He is in hell to monitor the procedures of hell and to make sure everything's done according to the Word of God. In verse number 9 it says, "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea." What's it saying? You take off early in the morning, He'll be wherever you're heading to. Any part of the sea, He's already there. You see, God knows everything about you. Brad, I'm going to use this cordless mic, please. Verse number 7, though, I want you to notice, it said, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" Where can you run so that God can't find you? There's no place. Where can you flee from the presence of God? Nowhere. Nowhere. Could you hide in the deepest dark cave? You can run. But you can't hide from God. Could you go to the deepest sea and hide from God there? You could run there, but you can't hide from God. In the depths of self-entertained, deep, dark depression, do you think you can get away from God there? You could run there, but you can't hide from God. The thickest tropical rainforest on earth, could you run there? Yes, you could run there, but you can run, but you can't hide from God. How about the farthest part of the universe? Oh, you might run there, but you can't hide from God there. How about the highest mountain of the Himalayas? You say, "Wonder if I go there." You could run there, but you can't hide from God there. Maybe it is in a mental high from your drugs. You think, "I'll escape. I'll go get high. I'll escape God." You can run to a high, but you can't hide from God in that high because He can find you there. How about the deepest part of the Grand Canyon? Oh, you could run there. But you can't hide from God there. Maybe you say, "I'll take a journey to the star that is furthest in the universe and I'll go and hide there." You could run there, but you can't hide from God once you arrive at that star. Maybe in the deepest bottle of Jack Daniels, you'll say, "I'll run there and I'll hide." You can run there, but you can't hide from God in a bottle. Maybe in a temporary, fulfilling, sinful relationship with somebody. You say, "Well, I won't have a relationship with God. I'll have a relationship with somebody else, and it's my way of hiding from God." You may run to a relationship that's not right, but you can't hide there. God can find you anywhere you are. Maybe you say, "I'll go someplace, the most secret place, protected by the FBI or the CIA. I'll hide there." You could run there, but you can't hide. God's almost as powerful as the IRS. And believe me, they'll find you. Jonah tried to run. In Jonah chapter 1, I won't read the scripture, our time is short. But in Jonah chapter 1, we find that Jonah tried to run. God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh. And He wanted him to go there and preach against that great city. But Jonah runs. He runs to Tarshish. The Bible says he fled. The Bible says then he went down to Joppa. From the presence of the Lord, a storm comes and Jonah is on a ship. And a storm comes while he is running from God, thinking he could escape God. And a storm comes while on that ship. And the men on the ship throw him overboard. And a whale swallows Jonah. And eventually Jonah goes to Nineveh. Can I say to all of you, Jonah tried to run from God, but he could not escape God. And he was better off doing what God wanted him to do in the first place. My friend, you can run from God, but you can't hide from God. You may be running right now, and I'll guarantee you, there are people under the sound of my voice, you are running from God. And you may run. You may turn your back on God and think you have escaped Him, but God doesn't turn His back on you. He knows exactly where you are. And even if God did turn His back so His eyes were facing another direction, He knows exactly where you are every moment of every day. He knows where you're going, where you've been, what you're up to, what you're doing. You can run from God, but you can't hide.
You can't hide. Elijah tried to run. 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah had fought and won a great battle on Mount Carmel. He defeated Queen Jezebel's false prophets. Right after he defeats all of these false prophets, Jezebel puts a price on his head. She said, "Preacher, I'm going to get you." And old Elijah, he takes off running. He goes into the wilderness. He's depressed there. He's hiding under a juniper tree, all depressed to the point where he said, "I just want to die." And let me tell you something. Maybe Elijah needed a little break, but Elijah had ran thinking it was going to solve his problem. And folks, just so you know, running from your problems do not solve them. Running won't solve your problem. Elijah ran thinking it would solve his problem. The next thing you know, he's in a deep, dark depression saying, "I just want to die." That is no way for a Christian to talk. Christian, you say, "But preacher, under the circumstances, what are you doing under the circumstances? Get on top of that thing." Christians are not to be running. You're not to run. But Elijah runs. And then God finds him there. And then the next thing you know, God feeds him and gives him some rest. And the Bible says he goes 40 days and 40 nights on one meal and a little batch of sleep that he needed. I'll tell you this though, he shouldn't have ran. He shouldn't have ran. I think of Peter. Peter ran. In John chapter 21, the story is Jesus had been crucified, he had been buried. Peter was basically one of that group of men that Jesus had pulled around him, and Jesus had trained Peter, and now Jesus had been crucified, and Peter he just quits on Jesus. The Bible says he goes back to the fishing business. He went back to the fish. He runs. He takes off running. And Jesus shows up while Peter's out on a boat fishing. Jesus said, remember, Jesus had been crucified. He's now resurrected. Peter quit on Jesus, went back to his old business of fishing. He's out there on a boat and he's not catching a thing. And Jesus is on the shore and he yells out there and says, "Hey, you guys out there on that boat, you catching anything?" And just so you know, when you quit doing what God wants you to do, you're going to find your life being very unproductive very quickly. Very, very quickly. Peter had run from what God wanted him to do, and now he can't catch anything. Now things are not productive like they ought to be. He's not catching anything. And Jesus tells him how to catch something. And the next thing you know, Peter's catching fish. But I got to tell you all something. You have got to understand, we as Christians, you can run if you want to, but you will not escape God. You can run, but you can't hide. You can get away from God and you can get away from what He expects. Hey, but you can't hide. You can run from what He requires of you, but you can't hide. You can run from what He demands of you, but you can't hide. You can run from what He demands of you, but you can't hide. Jeremiah ran, but he couldn't hide. The Bible says in Jeremiah 20 verse 9, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Jeremiah said, "I'm running from telling others about Jesus. I'm running from the responsibility of soul winning. I'm running from telling people how to be saved." He said, "I tried to run, and I tried. I ran, and I ran, and I ran. But I could not hide from the responsibility. Something started burning down inside of me, and I knew I could not keep my mouth shut. And I had to go do what God wanted me to do." Folks, you can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. Recently, I was playing hide and seek with my grandson. When it was his turn to hide, I got to be honest with you. He was more enamored with the running than the hiding. I said, now you go hide and Grandpa will come find you. And he was... And when he hid in an obvious spot to me. I mean, he just knelt down in a corner, covered his eyes. You say, "That's hilarious." Well, how do you think it looks when you're running from God? God sees you run around like a little kid, not paying any attention. You go sit down somewhere and you hide and cover your eyes. And God said, "I see you." You can run, But you can't hide. What are you running from? You can run. Sure you can. But you can't hide. That's what I call the sermon. You can run. But you can't hide. First of all, let me say to you today, you can run, but you can't hide from the Holy Spirit of God. You can run, but you can't hide from the Holy Spirit of God. Psalm 139 verse 7 said, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence?" God's Spirit. Hey, has the Holy Spirit convicted you of something, but you are running from Him? So I'm going to run from the Holy Spirit. Okay. We may not be able to stop you from running, but you can't hide. You think, you say, "I'll run away from this church." You think the Holy Spirit can't find you? You know something? If you're saved, you're taking Him with you. Brother Ellswick, come up here for a second. Little role play. I'm going to be a Christian, which I can do that, but you're going to be the Holy Spirit. It's not a very good person to pick for this. He's the Holy Spirit. If you're a born-again Christian, the Bible teaches when you got saved, He was sealed in you until the day of redemption. You may say, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run from Him. I'm going to run. I'm going to run from the Holy Spirit. I am going to run from the Holy Spirit. I'm going to run." You can't. Thank you. You can't. And all the devil do is lead you out into the middle of some pasture and beat the spiritual snot out of you while you think you're getting away from the Holy Spirit of God and He's down inside you. You say, "I'm going to run from the Spirit of God." You're going to get anywhere. You just run out in front of a truck and get hit. You're just going to run away and find yourself someplace where you ought not be, doing what you ought not do, with people you ought not be with. But the Holy Spirit's going to be there. He can find you anywhere you go. What do you do? What are you running from? Well, hey, how do you run? Do you think that if you play that bad music loud enough, you'll drown Him out? Some do. Let me tell you what you do. I can tell you how those of you that are backslidden do it. You start getting backslidden. You got to turn the bad music up as loud as you can. Get with a crowd that's very persuasive. You're trying to drown out the Holy Spirit of God. You can drink yourself into a stupor, but you will wake up and you will be sober long enough that the Spirit of God inside you is still coming after you. You can commit your fornication and your adultery trying to get your body high on a momentary thrill. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're a born again Christian, He's still around. He can find you anytime and anywhere. He lives within you. Where you hide, He's already there. You can run, but you can't hide. You can't hide from the Holy Spirit. Secondly, you can run, but you can't hide from your conscience. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse number 9, "And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst." This is a story of some men that were convicted of their own conscience on how they were treating someone. God gave you a conscience, and it's going to bother you. And it ought to bother you. Convicted by their conscience. Hey, has your conscience convicted you of wrong? So I'm going to run. Did you know you're taking your conscience wherever you go with you? I'm going to run. You can run, but you can't hide. If you're saved, that Holy Spirit's going to prompt your conscience to talk to you on the inside and say, "You're wrong. You're doing wrong. You're running. You're doing the wrong thing." You can run, but you can't hide. Does your conscience make you feel bad about stealing God's tithe? Something inside you, you stole God's tithe, you went on vacation, and you didn't tithe like you were supposed to tithe. You say, "Well, if I run and we stay gone a few weeks, and maybe we'll forget about it." You're being reminded of it today. by your conscience and your preacher. You can run, but you can't hide. Your conscience. Hey, the Old Testament calls it a still small voice. Does your conscience bring to remembrance that sinful issue from which you are trying to hide? The Old Testament story of Achan. Achan, what's hidden in your tent, Christian? We like many of you, we lost power Friday night. We didn't have power, didn't have air conditioning out of our house. Don't have air conditioning to this moment, I guess. I've not been out there since early this morning. But Mrs. Owen, she doesn't like that hot weather. She says sweating's yucky. And she said, I'm going to get out of this heat. So she went into where our bedroom was and she said, it's still hot in here. She said, well, I'm going to go in the living room. A little while later, she said, it is hot in here. She said, I'm going to go out on the deck. She said, it's hot out there too. And let me tell you something, folks. When the heat's on, with the Holy Spirit in your conscience, there's no escaping it. And I know people that have tried and tried and tried to drown it out. I watch them go to the weakest church they can find, get them the weakest preacher they can find. I've watched them start getting drunk all the time. I've watched them start smoking their dope all the time. I've watched them get around the worst kind of Christians they can find, trying to do anything they can to soothe their conscience. But I'm here to tell you, God don't have to leave you alone. God's still coming after you. And you ought to thank God when He does. You ought to thank God when you feel bad about not being in church. And thank God when you steal His tithe that you still feel bad about it. Some of you better realize something. There are people in this building today, you're running from God. But I've got news from you. I've got orders from headquarters. And God said, I'm not leaving her alone. I'm not leaving him alone. I'm going to dog them. I'm going to get them in the morning and in the afternoon and in the evening. When they're out doing what they ought not do, I can find them. You can run. You can't hide. You can't hide from the Holy Spirit. God wants your conscience to come after you. It will. And when the heat's on, there's no escaping it. That's how it's going to be. You can run, but you can't hide from God's Word. The Bible says in Psalm 147, verse 15, He sendeth forth His commandment upon earth. His Word runneth very swiftly. His Word runneth very swiftly. You think you can outrun the Word of God? Sorry. You can run, but you can't hide. His Word can run right alongside you. Very swiftly. If you run to another church, it won't change God's Word. If you run in denial of a truth, that won't change His Word. Can I tell you why there is so much energy to change the Bible through the years? Everybody's running. Everybody's running. I don't think anybody ought to tamper with the old King James Bible. Inspired, preserved. It's exactly the way God wants it in the English speaking language. But I'll promise you, the liberals want to get a hold of it. They want to tamper with that book. I'll tell you why. They're running from something. There's something that's about to be required of them in the old time way. And if they could change it, they could run from it. But this book is forever settled in heaven. And we may run, but we cannot hide. We'll face that book right there someday. You can run from the Word of God, but you can't hide. Do you run from the scriptural truth of forgiveness? Who here? You're running. You're running from the truth that your husband hurt you and you won't forgive. Or your wife hurt you and you won't forgive. Or some church member hurt you and you won't forgive. You can run, but you can't hide. Because there is a Holy Spirit and there is a conscience and there is a Word of God that's not changing. Do you run from the truth of separation? Whether you like it or not, the Bible teaches we're to be separate from the world. You say, well, preacher, you're about one of the only ones left to preach that. I've got news for you. I got it in print that it's still in the Bible. And I don't care if nobody preaches it. It's still in the book. You can run, but you can't hide. That tithing business, you can run, but you can't hide. God's expect a difference between men and women. You know, God expects men and women to be different. I don't care what the modern society says. You look all the way through the Bible. It's taught all the way through the Bible. You can run, but you can't hide. You see, you can run, but you can't hide from the Holy Spirit. You can run, but you can't hide from your conscience. You can run, but you can't hide from the Word of God. You can run, but you can't hide from chastisement. Some of you better sit up and listen, because I've got a feeling God's about to turn you over His knee and whip the fire out of some of you. You can run, but you can't hide. Job 5:17 says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of Almighty." God correcteth. It says, despise not. God correcteth. If you're getting spanked by God, you better thank God. Proves you're one of His kids. Listen, when I was growing up, my mama told me I was going to get a whipping. I grew up in the generation where you got whippings. Didn't hurt me at all. Well, it did hurt me. It hurt me to help me. My dad said, "Son, you hurt the ones you love." I said, "Dad, don't love me so much." There's some of you need to understand something. If you're one of God's children, you'll get a whipping because God loves you. But you may think you can run from the whipping. Brother Nash, if I ever ran from my mom and dad when it was whooping time, you know what happened? It got worse. I learned to bend over and take it like a man. Because if not, I was going to get it even worse. There was a place where God wanted them to aim. It was big. It was padded. It was best that you get it there. Because if you tried to run, you might get a little lower or a little higher. Let me tell you all something. There are people in this building. You've disobeyed God. You come up with all your excuses why and all your justifications. You blame somebody else in the church. You blame the preacher. You blame society. You blame your mama. You blame your daddy. And once you get your blame game over, bend over and take it like a man, you deserve a spanking because you're away from God. I get so tired of Christians blaming everybody else. "Well, I don't come to church anymore because old so-and-so." You don't come to church because of you. Bend over and take it like a man. You see, you can't hide from the chastisement. You say, "I'm not going to have the preacher talk to me that way." Well, you can trot yourself on up the road and get you a preacher that's got lace on his under drawers. And see, he may not spank you, but I'm going to tell you something. Your God will. You can't escape chastisement when you got it coming. If my dad, who is an earthly man limited by being a human, could find me, and he always found me, then my Heavenly Father that knows everything, that can be everywhere, that is all powerful, He's going to find you too. You know, the best place in the world to get your spanking, it's at home where you're safe. Hey, maybe you get a friend to run with you. Sad thing, but every man that gets out of the will of God usually takes his wife and his kids with him. There are men, you're pulling your wife and your kids away from God right now. Sad, but I remember one time when my brother was getting spanked and I was just too close. I got some of the follow through. It's too bad sometimes that dads get out of the will of God and wife and kids end up part of the mess that they pull themselves into. You can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. I wouldn't leave your spot in God's service. Take your chastisement. Take your spanking from God. I like this. A very large old building was being torn down in Chicago to make room for a new skyscraper. Due to its proximity to other buildings, it could not be imploded and had to be dismantled floor by floor. While working on the 49th floor, two construction workers found a skeleton in a small closet behind the elevator shaft. They decided they would call the police. When the police arrived, they directed them to the closet and showed them the skeleton fully clothed and standing upright. They said, This could be somebody important. Maybe being in Chicago, it's Jimmy Hoffa or somebody like that. 2 days went by and the construction workers could not stand it anymore. They had to know who had been found in that closet. They called the police and said, "We're the two guys that found the skeleton in the closet and we want to know, was it somebody important?" The police said, "Oh, it's somebody important, all right." They asked, "Well, who was it?" Policeman said, "It's the 1956 blonde national hide and seek champion." You'll get it in a minute. It's going to come to you. Folks, you can run, but you can't hide. I've watched people travel thousands of miles trying to escape what God wants of them. You can run, but you can't hide. I've watched them drink themselves into drunken stupors. God still knew where they were and God still convicted them. I've seen them get themselves so high you wonder if they're not on a rocket ship. I've watched them become so immoral they become virtual prostitutes and whores and everything else in life. You can run, but you can't hide. Hey, you can run, but you can't hide from the reaping process. Right. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Hey, don't be deceived, folks. You can run, but you can't hide from reaping. Right. You'll reap even if you run. Your geographical location won't spare you of reaping. The safest place to reap is at the church where somebody will love you and help you through it. Those people that run and try to escape the chastisement and try to escape the reaping process, you'd be better off staying close to your preacher and the people that love you when you go through that. Safest place in the church to reap is here at the altar, on your knees, in humility. Well, I'd hate to reap in the whale's belly. I'd hate to reap on the backside of the desert like Moses. I'd hate to reap in Moab. You can run, but you can't hide. Not only that, you can run, but you can't hide from what you've been given. You say, what? You can run, but you can't hide from that which you've been given. Luke chapter 12, verse number 48 says this. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. Can you hear that? If you've been given much, there'll be much required of you. Some here have been reared in some of the finest Christian homes on earth. And God is going to require that you live like you've been reared in one of the finest Christian homes on earth. You've been given the privilege of having a mom and dad that brings you to church. God requires you to live right. You say, "I'll run." You can run, but you can't hide. You're still responsible to live right. There's some here. There are people in here. You've been to great Bible colleges. You've been taught the difference between right and wrong. You've sat under classes and teachers and preachers, and you've been taught things in that Bible college. It is amazing. And you're hiding from the training that you receive. You can run, but you can't hide. It's time for some people in here that have graduated from good Bible colleges to step up and do what's right. You say, "Well, you expect me to do better than everybody else?" You've been trained better than everybody else. You ought to do better than everybody else. There are people that have been trained at Martinsburg Christian Academy. You sat under the teaching of great men like Brother Nash. You sat under the teaching. I remember back when Don Smith used to teach Bible here at Martinsburg Christian Academy. You've had some fantastic teachers. You know the difference between right and wrong. And I'll tell you something. There ought to be more expected out of you than some of the young people that go to the public school. You've been taught better. Step up and do what's right. I'm going to run. You can run, but you can't hide. Take the responsibility. You've been given a good mom and a good dad and a good Christian school. Step up and do what's right. Some of you have had some great pastors. There are people in this building, you've sat under some of the greatest men of God in the last generation. What are you doing with your life? To whom much is given, much is required. And you can run all you want. You can ignore it all you want. You can try to brush aside all the training that you have received. But you can run, but you can't hide. Somebody said to me, "Brother Owens, why are you so passionate about the ministry?" I was given passion for my forefathers. I sat under some of the greatest men on the face of the earth. I'm not going to roll over and play dead. I'm not going to get sucked into this new contemporary style of fundamentalism. I was trained by the old time religion. It was given to me, and I've got to step up and do the right thing. Why? Because to whom much is given, much is required. And I'm watching them run all over the place. They're running and hiding behind every excuse under the sun. Can't keep people in your church if you preach that old time way. We're going to preach the old time way whether we keep them or not. And we're not doing so bad around here. You can run, but you can't hide. You can run from this church, what's preached from the Bible, from this pulpit, but you can't hide. Some of you have heard in person some of the greatest sermons ever preached. You can run, but you can't hide. I'm tired of hearing some of you talk about how I like this old mean tough preacher. I really like him. Do you know us preachers don't care whether you like us or not? We'd like you to live what you say you like. It's not a Miss America pageant with us. That bunch of you walk around and strut around, oh, I really like to hear this guy. Oh, he really gets with it. You know what this guy would like to hear? We'd like to see you live right and do right and start living some of what's preached instead of walking around admiring it. Hey, we're not trying to get on the top 10 chart of Columbia House. We're not running for office. You can run, but you can't hide. Do they still have Columbia House? It used to be a record company. I guess that tells you something, record. You say, what's a record? That's a CD on steroids. You can run, but you can't hide. Some of you have been taught how to win souls. To whom much is given, much is required. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you won somebody to Jesus Christ? Brother Brad Hollinger and I were out soul winning last Thursday night. I was going to walk by a man because I was going someplace else. There's somebody I was going to go witness to. Brad and I were trucking along, and this fellow said, hey, how you guys doing? I thought, well, I'm going to win somebody to Christ. Get out of my road, buddy. I got to get to go see this other person. And it occurred to me, I better go witness to him. Brother Brad and I went over. Man, Brother Brad, I don't remember when it was so easy to win someone to Christ. Matter of just a few minutes, we showed him the gospel. I said, would you like to trust Christ? He said, well, who wouldn't? Brother Brad, I'll promise you something. If you and I would have walked by him and he would have went to hell, God would have convicted us and reminded us that guy was right there. To whom much is given, much is required. There are people in this room, you know how to win people to Jesus Christ. You never do anything about it. You sing in my choir and you promise that you would go out and do something about it. You work in a nursery on a bus route and you know something about keeping people out of hell. And to whom much is given, much is required. You come out of your law. You get out of your laziness. You get out of your apathy. You get yourself right with God. You can run, but you can't hide. Somebody said to me earlier, they said, I was walking through the hallway. They said, look, he's got a small cup of coffee. He'll be calm today. You can just thank God I only had enough money for a small. I'm on half calf, baby. You can run, but you can't hide. Some of you need to live up to your training. There are people in this church, I've personally trained you. I showed you the difference between right and wrong, how to do it, and how to build something. Just stop being lazy and wake up. Do what you've been trained to do. Hey, you can run, but you can't hide. Oh, do I love this one. You can run, but you can't hide from His love. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the greatest news you ever hear. He loves you when you're right. He loves you when you're wrong. He loves you when you know something? You can't stop him from loving you. There's some of you'd almost like that, wouldn't you? You'd like it if you look back at God and blame him and say, well, you don't love me anymore. I'm sorry. God's bigger than that, and God does love you. And I hope by the mercy of God and the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit that is within me, you might not like me. And there are people that try to get me to turn on them. They do. They think that if they can get me to turn on them, it justifies them running from God or running from something that I preach or running from this church. You can't stop me. I don't care how backslidden you are. I don't care what you call me, what you say about me. I love you. And I am your friend, and I'm just preaching this way because I do care about you. You can go tell someone that you don't think I like you or that I'm against you. I'm not against anybody. I'm against the devil, and I love you, and I am your friend, and God loves you, and God is your friend, and you can run, but you can't hide. You can get out there and get drunk and get high and run and whore around and do anything you want. God may hate your sin, but God loves you. You can run, but you can't hide from the love of God. You know something? I don't want to hide from it. I want to bask in it. I want to enjoy it. If you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? The Bible teaches this. You're a sinner. You deserve to go to hell. But Jesus Christ died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. He paid your sin debt for you. He made it so salvation is a free gift. I'll tell you, you either accept him as Savior or you'll die and go to hell. You can run, but you won't hide from that truth. You say, I hope that I get to leave this building. I'm not going to respond to anything you've said today. I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to forget about it. No, you're not. No, you're not. You can run. You can't hide. Those of you that are angry at me right now, you're going to have indigestion at lunch today over me. I'll still be on your mind tomorrow. There's somebody a week from now, you're going to wake up and go, oh, am I still in that church? You can run, but you can't hide. Because the truth of God can follow you anywhere you go. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, you need to get born again. In just a moment, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. We have this thing called the altar call. If you're not saved, you leave your seat, whether you're in the balcony or the lower floor. You walk down the aisle. You walk up to one of the men that will be standing down front. And you say, I want to be born again. We'll show you how to be saved. This thing of salvation is going to haunt you. You can't get saved by giving money to the church. You can't get saved by getting baptized. You can't get saved by taking communion or the Lord's Supper. You're going to get saved the same way everybody gets saved. It's through Jesus Christ and him alone. You say, well, I'm a member of a church. I'm glad for you, but that doesn't save you. You say, I do good deeds. I'm glad for you, but that doesn't save you. You'll trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you'll go to hell. You can run from that truth, but you can't hide. There are people in this building. You're lost. You need to get saved. There are people in this building. You're backslidden. You need to get up here and get it right with God. There's somebody in here. What are you running from? What is it? What are you running from? You can run. But you can't hide. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our